This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
8 o'clock hour here on Sean and RJ on 105 through the Phantom. RJ Choppy, he is Bobby Belt. Peyton and Aiden alongside. 6:35 tonight is the start of the Rangers baseball season here on 105 through the Fan, as they have an exhibition game tonight against the Royals. We will carry that game tonight. So G-Bag gets a little bit shorter of a show, and that is going to happen today. 6:35, pregame, 7:05, first pitch.
Yeah, and
You're going to go?
No, I'm not going. My wife is going to be going, but I'm very excited for Rangers baseball to get going. This is something where, you know, I had a little bit of last year. It kind of sapped the joy pretty quickly for me. Because you remember last year we got to June and we were basically going like, all right,
we're out of it.
Is this even worth like messing with? Do you even bother with this? Because should you just go ahead and sell? Should you do this? Should you do that? So last year was just such a downer with all the different injuries that occurred and how you had, you know, Wyatt Langford maybe not performing at the level that you really wanted him to. But, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited about this year. All right. I'm curious for you. What's like the number one top line thing for you that you're like, all right, I'm in on this with the Rangers season. This is what I want.
Like
excitement level as we head into opening day.
Oh, I'm very bullish. Bullish is good, right? Bullish is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very bullish on this team. Now a lot of it hinges on the health of a lot of players. But this is every bit as good of a team as there is in the American League.
That's high praise.
I think the Yankees have taken such a step back with their injuries. They lose Soto to the Mets. They lose Cole to Tommy John. Stanton's out for months. Their rookie of the year pitcher is out for months. And outside of them, like going into the year, there was no great team in the AL. Like, make no mistake about it, the American League stinks. It stinks this year. And you absolutely, like, if you are a team like the Royals, who made the playoffs last year but hasn't had a lot of success in recent years, or if you're a team like the Blue Jays, who never busts through, or Seattle, who never busts through,
yeah,
you have no excuse this year. None.
Well, let's see how the Texas Rangers stack up against the rest of the American League and against the rest of Major League Baseball. This is over at Fangraphs, one of the better analytical websites that exists for baseball. And Fangraphs every year does a ranking of positional groups. So they will take all 30 teams in Major League Baseball and they will rank the catcher position for them and first base, and they'll go on down the line. So we've got the various positions now that they've ranked across Major League Baseball, and we'll see exactly where the Rangers stack up on this. What position would you like to start with? And then we'll just kind of take it from there.
Let's start with third base.
Third base it is. Okay, so we'll start with third base, and this is something, again, where they're going to use a lot of their fan, basically their F-War analytics, which are, it's Fangraphs wins above replacement. Mm-hmm. And wins above replacement just basically means here's a baseline player that's a zero, and then anything above or below it, your contribution ranks you above a replaceable player, just a league average player. And so this is their own formula that they do for, and some of their projection out and what they think a team is going to be capable of reaching, or a player is going to be able to reach this year. So these are projections based on that. The number one third base position ranking in all of Major League Baseball is, by a significant amount, it's the Cleveland Guardians. By a lot.
Okay.
With Jose Ramirez and the depth that they have there. The Texas Rangers, you're going to have to go down a little ways to find them on this list. with Josh Jung there, but it's right in the middle of the pack at number 15. Josh Jung, Josh Smith, Ezekiel Duran, Jonathan Ornelas, and Jake Berger are listed as the depth there. They mentioned that after playing 122 games in 2023, it appeared that Josh Jung had finally gotten off the injury schneid that cost him much of 22 and a good chunk of 21. Alas, it was not to be. He gets hurt 4 games into the season. Jung is still young, so the projection systems aren't overly concerned about another mostly lost season, expecting him to be about league average overall at third base in 2025. There's still upside if he remains healthy, and Jung could very well be a 3-4 WAR player this year, but some caution is warranted. So
okay, so this is not based, this is not last, this is a projection model.
It's a projection model based on,
it's like Pacoda.
Yeah, recent history and things like that. And gotcha. They're ranking it based on that projection. So that's there at third base. Let's go around the diamonds. Shortstop. The Texas Rangers come in ranked. Where would you guess, Chop?
My assumption is they'll come in ranked 2nd or 3rd.
5th.
Okay.
Behind the Royals.
Bobby Jr. 1.
The Royals at 1. The Orioles at 2.
Okay, yeah.
Dodgers at 3 with Mookie Betts.
Man, yeah. He's moving around the diamond all over the place.
4, the Mets with Lindor and Luis Angel Acuna. Number 5 is the Texas Rangers with Corey Seager, and then those same players that they had at third base as depth, Josh Smith, Duran, Ornelas. So as the Rangers topped this list last year, but their slide to 5th isn't because their outlook at the position has gotten worse so much as the teams in front of them are experiencing the ascendance of young superstars or seeing perennial MVP candidates return to form or change positions. Corey Seager wasn't quite the sparkling performer in 2024 that he was in 2023, but he still had a very Corey Seager-like season with a 140 WRC plus, landing in the top 10 defensively at shortstop and missing multiple weeks of the season due to injury. Heading into his age 31 season, it's reasonable to expect his Corey Seager-ness to continue for a few more years, but it's worth noting that Seager lost almost a full foot per second off his sprint speed last year.
Wow.
So significant to note there for the Rangers. But 15th at third base and then 5th at shortstop. Second base, RJ Choppy. Where do you think these Texas Rangers come in?
3rd.
Number 1.
Wow.
The Texas Rangers.
Wow, because the talk of the Simeon decline appears to be premature.
As it was in the beginning, so it remains in 2025. Marcus Simeon's Rangers have the best second base situation in baseball for the 3rd year in a row. In fact, it should be 4 seasons in a row. In 2022, Simeon's first season in Texas, the Rangers were less than a tenth of a win behind the Rays, less than irrelevant, even though Simeon projected for more wins above replacement than Tampa Bay starter Brandon Lowe. The difference was an erroneous projection that Rays backup would end up being 0.2 WAR player, and so that kind of skewed things a little bit. But it says all this is to say that if you don't know Simeon by now, you will never, never, never know him. In odd numbered years, he hits about 270 with middle of the order power and great defense and compiles about 6 WAR. In even numbered years, he hits about 235 with everything else remaining the same and is a 4 win player. So he's kind of alternating like Bochy does. When he wins and loses and wins and loses.
The funny thing is here, the write-up on second base, they call it the bass guitar of a baseball team. If you're there, people assume you don't have the chops to play lead guitar, shortstop, or rhythm, third base. And that is just where the nerds miss out, like up the middle.
Yeah.
Up the middle is where you need to be strong. Like nobody in real baseball discounts second base.
Yeah, 100%.
You know who you put at 3rd? You put the catcher at 3rd who's got bad knees but a good arm.
Yeah.
Like, who discounts second base?
Michael Young in his prime was playing 2nd. Where'd he go near the end of his career? 3rd. That's where he went.
It's like, yeah, you want a good arm at 3rd. You got to have a good arm at 3rd. But like, nobody's discounting second base. Like, this is just...
No, if you have a butcher at 2nd base, it's bad.
If you have a butcher at 2nd base, you're not winning.
1st base now. We've already got the Rangers. Strong showings, 15 at 3rd, 5th at shortstop, 1st at 2nd base, with Jake Berger, Josh Smith, Dustin Harris listed as some of their depth at 1st base. Where do you think the Rangers fall on 1st base?
Let's go back to the 3rd base. Well, let's go mid-pack.
20th. The Rangers come in 20th on these projections. Anytime you can trade away.
So hang on. Mm-hmm. Where does Washington land then? Because they traded Nate.
The Nationals come in on this list 10th.
It's not that good.
In fact, they described Nate Lowe as falling into their laps.
Boy, Peyton, how does that make you feel?
It hurts.
They say anytime you can trade away a first baseman for a reliever after trading for a different first baseman who underperformed your incumbent the season before, you have to do it, right? The Rangers sure thought so.
Oh,
so they are low on Jake Berger.
Yikes.
They say Berger started the switch from third base, where he was a very poor fielder last season. Perhaps a full-time role that doesn't overly strain him on the defensive side will unlock some more offense. The Rangers seem to have made this move because they want power more than on base out of the position, and Berger will certainly give them that. But a little bit of a brutal fall there, according to
that is
the projections
tough.
From FanWAR.
That is tough. Man, it's I like Nate Lowe. I thought he was a good player. He came up with a lot of big hits late in games, and a lot, kind of a bat to ball guy too, which I think is very underrated in a postseason.
Yeah,
very underrated in a postseason as a bat to ball guy. I didn't love trading him away. I think the reliever they got is a really good one. It's a chance to be really good, but. Yeah, I didn't love moving on from him. And if you were going to do that, you know, you would think you would do that for somebody who's like a kid. That you're, you know, he's all like, he's locked.
Yeah.
You have this hotshot prospect you're going to bring up. But, you know, that's not how they did it.
So, corners of the infield, not as great as the middle of the infield for the Rangers.
Okay, so 15, 5, 1, and 20.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Catcher. Where do you think the Rangers come down with Jonah Heim and Kyle Higashioka?
13.
18. It says Jonah Heim was one of the better catchers in the sport from 2022 to 23, providing roughly average offense and tremendous value with his defense. Many things went wrong for the Rangers last year, and one of them was that the all-star and gold glove version of Heim was gone. In his place was one of the least productive hitters in the league, and much more surprisingly, a mediocre glove behind the dish. After he stole at least 8 runs worth of strikes in each of the previous 3 years, his framing was a net negative in 2024. It's hard to imagine Heim will be below replacement level again this season, but the projections aren't convinced he's going to return to all-star form. They mentioned that Higashioka has caught 80 to 90 games in each of the past 3 seasons, churning out about a 1.5 wins above replacement per year, and that's pretty much exactly what our depth charts have him doing again in 2025, so below league average.
Who's number one, Baltimore?
Number one on this list is the Mariners with Cal Raleigh, Mitch Garver.
All right. All right.
Let's go to DH, and then we'll run through the outfield really quickly. DH. We'll have pitching that we can do later this week. Right. And so I'll hit the DH really quickly, and then we'll wrap.
We'll do outfield later. And pitching tomorrow.
DH, where do you think the Rangers come down with Jock Peterson, Adolis Garcia, Jake Berger, and then anybody else who's kind of rotating in there?
That's a pretty decent one. 9.
5.
Okay.
Says that's right. There are 9 names on this list of players that could potentially be DH for the Rangers. I guess that's in keeping with the idea of DH being a parking spot for any starting position player who's old and or slow and or injury prone. And indeed, the Rangers have lots of those. They also have Jock Peterson, who molts every few years and emerges as a completely different player. The young Dodger center fielder became a bench bat and glue guy, and in 2024, he somewhat quietly put together a monster season for Arizona. Among position players with at least 400 plate appearances, Peterson was 4th in OBP, trailing only Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. The 2 guys behind him on the list were Alvarez and Otani. So, pretty strong group there. They say they can fill the starts against lefties with a combination of Jake Berger and Adolis Garcia. The latter looks like he'll start in right field against righties and shift over to DH against lefties with Kevin Pillar coming in to play right. So, number 5 on DH. DH, shortstop, and second base get top 5 rankings for the Rangers.
I assume the Dodgers are number 1 with Shohei.
The Dodgers are number 1.
Yeah,
yep.
And that makes...
Number 2 is the Astros.
With Yordan. That makes perfect sense.
And 3 is the Athletics. So the Rangers finished 5th.
The Athletics.
Third in the division. Yep, with Brett Rooker. Yep.
Okay, so we'll do outfield and pitching tomorrow. That's good. Good stuff. FanGraphs getting you set for opening day. It is Thursday right here on the Fan. KNC Mash. We'll be out there at 10 o'clock on Thursday at the ballpark. We have the game tonight, 6:35, here on 105.3. The Fan. Science says you're not underpaid, you're just ugly. And a sports legend passes away, and I'm not sure if Peyton Russell knows who it is. We will do that next on 105 through the Fan. Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ here on 105 through the Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton Russell, and Aiden alongside. We are going to get into a little bit below the belt, obviously, coming up at 8:40. And then a little bit more March Madness talk in the 9 o'clock hour. But Bobby, it is one of the biggest questions out there that I have in the world of going to the market, the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of eggs, but I could just smuggle them across the border now.
Well, no, you can't because you're going to get caught is the issue. So eggs, I feel like, have been held up recently as the example of just how ridiculously expensive everything is and how much costs have jumped up. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a fascinating note coming from U.S. Border Patrol, Chop.
Okay.
They are currently in the first 2 months of 2025, Customs and Border Protection is seizing more eggs than they are fentanyl at the border right now. A dozen eggs cost American consumers around $5.90 in February, almost double what it was in 2024. Many U.S. residents are paying significantly more, especially in California, where prices climbed to nearly $10 for a dozen eggs.
Wow.
Prices are expected to increase another 41% in 2025, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So now people are like, man, this is a bigger deal. We got to get this across the border more than we do the fentanyl now. In the first 2 months, again, it was
profitable.
They seized fentanyl on 134 occasions, down from 197 seizures in the same time frame in 2024. Meanwhile, they intercepted eggs on 3,254 occasions in January and February compared to 1,500 in the first 2 months of 2024. So people are just like, I got to get some eggs across the border, because these prices are just not doing it. So that's what you're doing.
I buy in bulk. You know, you go to Sam's or Costco, and you get two dozen for $8, which is still expensive.
817 says Costco sells them for $4.
Yeah,
it's
still expensive, but I guess it's not.
Kristen can't stop complaining about it, where she's like, the cost of, she just, from when she was a kid up through adulthood and everything else, she's like, this is like the highest jump in price of anything else that we regularly buy.
It really is.
Eggs.
It really is.
Yeah, and you're a big egg eater. Don't you eat like a ton?
Yeah, we try to eat a couple dozen a week.
Gosh, you guys should see this guy when we're on road trips. His plate, he will take, I remember there was one time we were in Oxnard, you took like a paper plate and you you couldn't see white.
No.
It was all covered in those water eggs, those fake powdered eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're just loading up on the protes.
I assume that there's protein in that. I assume it's real eggs.
I would imagine there's got to be some, right? Like, yeah. I mean, it's like the astronaut food.
That's what it is. That's what it is. You know, you're not underpaid. You're just ugly.
I am.
Pretty privileged. The jaw-dropping amount of money that workers make that are more attractive. According to a report from March of this year, obviously, you make it, people who are easy on the eyes earn about $20,000 more than colleagues who are less attractive, according to new data on pretty privilege in the workplace.
Okay, well, since we just talked about eggs, is this a chicken and the egg theory, though?
What do you mean?
Okay, so you know how, like they've said before, you'll see like a picture of Tom Brady when he was a rookie versus now, and they'll be like, a reminder, you're not ugly, you're just poor.
Yeah.
So, like, is this an instance of people get the money and are then able to make themselves look more attractive?
That's possible. I think it's absolutely possible. But people who consider themselves attractive, on average, make $64,000 a year compared to those who consider themselves unattractive in this study, who make right around $44,000 a year. But, yeah, it could be a chicken and the egg thing. You never know.
So, Peyton, look. You just find out how much Alec makes versus how much you make, and then you'll know who wins. Because if you make more or he makes more, then we'll know who is more attractive.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. 46% of those respondents who feel unattractive rated themselves a 3 or less on a 1 to 10 scale. So they really think they're unattractive.
This also could be a confidence issue then. You just have a lack of confidence. If you have poor self-image and you don't have any confidence in yourself to then be able to ascend in the workplace. That could also be it. There are lots of psychological factors here, Chop.
Yeah, there are. There are quite a bit psychological factors that do come into play with this one. But, you know, pretty, you may not be, you may not be underpaid. You might just be ugly. And that's the reality of it. Mm-hmm. Peyton, do you know who this guy is?
Good inside uppercut by Foreman.
Come on, let's go. Work out of here. Come on.
Oh, and look.
slice the puck, and Jerry Cooney's in big trouble. He's ready to go, and there he goes.
George Foreman, Big George, Marshall, Texas, passing away over the weekend at the age of 76. When this happened, I first went, does Peyton know who this is? Because I asked my son Luca, I said, he's 15, I said, do you know who George Foreman is? He goes, no.
I knew the Grills.
Is that how you knew? You didn't know he was a boxer, you knew he was the Grill guy?
I knew he was a boxer, I didn't know he was, you know, big time. But yeah, no, I knew the first thing that came to mind was the Grills.
76-5. Just a trip, the oldest champ ever.
Have you ever heard, Peyton, have you ever heard of the rumble in the jungle? Have you ever heard that phrase?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Okay, that was Ali Foreman. And that was a big time fight in 74.
Now.
Okay, I was born in 96, so a little before my time.
Okay, do you know who George Washington is, Peyton?
He has 12 children, 7 girls, and 5 boys. Peyton, what are the names of his boys?
George.
Yep.
And?
George.
Uh-huh.
George the 3rd.
Yep.
And the 4th.
And the 5th.
And the 5th.
He's got 5 Georges. He calls them Monk, Big Wheel, Red, Little Joey, and then George Jr.
This is a great example of why, you know, whenever people talk about, like, sometimes we'll get people to ask us, like, are you guys the same on the air as you are off the air, yeah, or whatever? Yes, exactly. And the dynamic is still exactly the same because our text thread showed this when Sean Sharif texted the news to us and he says, George Foreman died. And I replied back, just buy another one. They're like $20 at Walmart.
Bobby.
And Sean replied, D, right back to that. And then Choppy replied and said, good thing about George Foreman died is he named all his sons George. So George Foreman is very much alive. And I said, by George, he's right.
I don't think you're supposed to read this on the air.
Sean didn't reply to any of it at that point. It was definitely put out.
I don't think you're supposed to reply.
Why not?
Because our text chain is not for the public
use. Now, the only one who could have gotten in trouble there for that take was me. It was for the buy another one. They're $20 at Walmart.
That's not remotely true. Just leave.
Okay, $40 at Walmart.
Leave our texts out of this. My gosh, Peyton. So we had detailed your trip to Boston with the Green Monster, going to Fenway Park.
Yeah.
We did not have a chance to ask you, because this was the hot topic of discussion on Friday. Your tip situation, your Uber situation with the trip,
personal,
with going into the toll booth. You had a problem with this. Explain your cheapness to us, please.
I don't think it's me being cheap. I guess I just wasn't aware. So, you know, you go from the airport to wherever our hotel was. And, you know, you can take the toll road to bypass some traffic, or you can just take the normal road. And I looked at my Uber receipt and I was like, okay, let's see what the breakdown is. Did they charge us? Because the guy had to wait for us because we didn't, you know, it was one of those airports where, like, we were on the first floor and he was on the second. So we had to walk up to him. So he charged me like $4 for a wait fee. I was already pissed off about that. You know, he waited five minutes.
Wait fee?
Yes. So if they arrive and you are not ready to go, they will like start a timer and you get a fee if you're not there.
But he was ready. He was just in the wrong spot.
I know, but it doesn't matter. If you're not in the spot where you're supposed to be and you've called for the Uber and you're not standing there, they'll charge the... Because the driver's losing money at that point.
So I guess I understand, but I was already upset about that. And then I was checking the receipt just to say, okay, because it was like a $40 trip. You know, I was just saying, okay, what was the math on here? And then I saw, you know, toll road fee. And I was like, toll road? I didn't tell this guy to take a toll road. I guess he just did it under his own power. But he charged me for that. And I was like, okay, if I'm not telling you take the toll road, how are you going to charge me for that? You know, like, I didn't understand that part. Like, it just didn't seem fair. It was a cheap way of getting more money. And it was a couple bucks, so I'm not getting anybody to throw a hissy fit. I know it sounds like I'm throwing a hissy fit. Yeah. I was just upset that I'm getting charged for something I didn't ask for. You know,
so was it like so you know how like when you're on 635 and you could take that express lane in the middle
that you go underground,
or you go underground, yeah, or you could stay on the regular 635. Was it like that, or was it like you get on the tollway and that's just the road?
I don't know. It was the airport, and then we were on the toll road. Like he had an option to take not the tolls or the toll road. But I didn't know the city. Okay. I didn't know those streets, so I'm not sure.
But here's the thing, Peyton. It's not about them getting more money because there's no overhead. It literally just reimburses the driver for the tolls. That's all it does. So, like, if you whatever the toll, if you ran $5.35 worth of tolls in that car, he's just getting $5.35 for it. It's just to reimburse him for
He's
the
not toll profit cost. Enough.
Yeah, there's no profit involved in it. And the other thing is like. It
Bobby, you used the term like overhead. It just throws me off. I don't know what exactly that means.
It's automatically include like you're automatically whatever the fastest route is. It's gonna put it. So if there's tolls, you have to tell them not to take tolls if you don't want.
Well,
to.
Well, then that's on me. I did not know that. I don't take a ton of Ubers, but yeah. So I was looking at the breakdown of the receipt and I saw that. And I was like, I didn't tell this guy to take a toll. Like why is it up? Why is he able to charge me more or Uber charge me more because of that? But I would have had him going around. I don't care if it takes an hour and a half to get to the hotel. I want the cheapest ride.
But then you were upset that you were, like, too far from the hotel. So, like, what did you... You must have cared a little bit about how quickly you got there.
Oh, like, from the airport?
The walk
like,
or whatever. Whatever the walk was when you didn't want to take the train.
Oh, yeah, because the train was, you know, it was a 7 or 8... I didn't do my research on the train. I never took the train, by the way. I went up to the train, looked at the signs and where to go, and I was like, this is too difficult. I'm just going to Uber.
You could have asked somebody.
I could have, but... Yeah, people, you know, not a whole lot of people talk there. It's a quiet city. People were walking, but no one's talking on the streets.
Hey, I'm walking here, right?
No, I think that's New York.
Yeah, you gotta take the trains. Like, cause if you go to Manhattan, like, you've got to take the subway.
But it's like some of the train routes that like took me close to my destination, but like it was still like a 25-minute walk, like from the train.
A 25-minute walk.
Yeah, because like
that's
you know,
a lot. That's a waste.
Uber takes me curbside to my destination. You know, train takes you to like a generic area.
Yeah,
and
it does.
Walk from there. So that's what was the deciding factor. And it got cold in certain parts of the day. Rain was always a factor. So I was like, all right, I might as well just bite the bullet.
When you were in Europe, did you take a train everywhere and have to like walk a lot of places?
In Florence, we did because the train took you like right from our Airbnb to like downtown. So it was like right there. But no, we either Ubered or taxied or walked basically. Yeah.
Peyton, 214 says you're getting charged for time and mileage. It's cheaper to do the toll. Let's see here. So what else do we have here? 325 says they don't reimburse the drivers 100% on the tolls, no matter what they say, and often don't reimburse tolls at all. And drivers have to fight just to get a fraction of it. So that means that a lot of times they're losing money. So he was just trying to get you to your place on time. He was just being a good driver. Well, and you one-starred him, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I four-starred him, and I gave him
four-star.
I took it down. He was at 4.99. Dude, now he's lower.
A four is a one on those ratings.
Yeah, you got to get it. It's a five or nothing.
Well, okay, the wait time did upset me, though. That upset me a little. That was probably the difference of five or four-star.
All right, very nice.
Four is fine.
Four-star. This guy's going to lose his – I mean, he's not going to get any fares now. Poor guy. What is coming up next to Below the Belt?
Oh, the NFL free agency has calmed down just a little bit. Where do the Dallas Cowboys stack up against the rest of the league? Let's find out what the analysts have to say. That's next in Below the Belt on The Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Is the star up or is the star down after the first 2 weeks of NFL free agency? Let's find out what the experts are saying, the so-called experts, RJ Choppy, here in Below the Belt, which is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano, a first-class buying experience. And you know what? We can talk Cowboys in this segment, but we can also talk Cowboys between breaks on Friday, if you like, or talk about anything else
you want.
I can show you our entire group texts that Choppy wants me to keep off the air. All of Peyton's. Peyton is the one who's most at risk.
Man, the fan texts, like, those are sacred. You cannot...
If you expose Peyton's texts... He'd be done so fast. It would be so quick that Peyton wouldn't be allowed to return to work. But you can ask us about all of it, talk to us about all of it on Friday when we kick off the 2025 version of the Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. This is the third one that we've done now, and we will be kicking it off in my home away from home, Keller, where the Keller Indians high school softball team plays. Big fans of them over there. We're going to be at Fire Station number 1, 455 Keller Smithfield Road South. That's 455 Keller Smithfield Road South. That's station number 1. Opened in 2009. An 11,000 square feet fire station there in Keller, RJ Choppy. But we'll have Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour aprons as well as free Whataburger breakfast while supplies last.
Come on out. Now the question is, Bobby, what if that is enemy territory? What if that is Keller Central? Or Fossil Ridge?
You know what? I think I'm just welcome.
Or is it Timber Creek?
I think I'm welcome anywhere right now except around Denton Guyer. I think Geyer was kind of unhappy with me when I was making some jokes last year. It was all in good fun, and they won, and I give them props, but they were they didn't like that when I tweeted about the Keller game. I said, Denton Geyer, more like Denton Tired. Am I right? Got this one, which I was just always doing.
It's a great joke.
I was doing bits the whole way. When they played Eaton, they were playing the Eaton Eagles, okay? I said, Eaton Eagles is what we're going to be doing. We're going to be eating these Eagles tonight.
Those Eagles. Right? Yeah, there you go.
And so that was the whole bit. But congratulations to Denton. But they're still not happy with me, especially one of those coaches. They didn't like me very much. All right, let's take a look at the NFL power rankings in the wake of free agency. You want to lead off with NFL.com or the mothership, ESPN?
NFL.com.
Okay, let's go to NFL.com. This is Eric Edholm doing these rankings. And if I were to just say, without stacking it in your mind, just off the top of your head, you think generally where the Cowboys are right now, where would you put the Cowboys in the NFL power rankings?
Oh, man, I haven't.
A rough territory.
I haven't done this. Rough territory is they're obviously not top 10, 10 to 20.
Okay, 10 to 20. So they were, before free agency, NFL.com had them 23rd. After free agency, they've moved up a little bit. A very little bit, one spot to 22.
Okay.
This is the write-up. The recent drama following DeMarcus Lawrence's exit may not have a lasting imprint on the Cowboys, but it does paint an interesting picture of the current leadership. This is Dak Prescott's team, but it's also CeeDee Lamb's and Micah Parsons' team, too. Parsons technically hangs in the balance prior to his extension, but it feels as if the Cowboys will lock him up long-term at some point soon. That naturally will elevate his voice even more in the locker room, which is transitioning from Mike McCarthy to Brian Schottenheimer. Other respected voices have departed this offseason with Zach Martin and Jordan Lewis at the top of the list. The Cowboys might have a slightly more aggressive approach to free agency, and they've traded for a pair of former first-rounders in Kenneth Murray and Kyrie Elam, who might be able to flourish in a new situation. But I'll be really curious how Dallas's current leadership guides this team into a new era. For your curiosity, here are the teams that are behind the Cowboys. They're just outside the bottom 10 in the NFL. Directly behind them, the Indianapolis Colts, the Carolina Panthers, New England Patriots, Las Vegas Raiders, New York Jets, New Orleans Saints, Cleveland Browns, Jacksonville Jaguars, and then the Giants and the Titans. I don't have a complaint about any of those teams that are behind them. Those are all pretty accurate. And the ones directly ahead of them, the first few, I would probably have ahead of Dallas right now. Atlanta, Miami, Arizona.
Yeah, I'd have those ahead of them too. Or right there.
They're close enough that I don't fault anybody if they're punishing Dallas a little bit and saying, you need to show us something before we give you any benefit of the doubt.
I would have Miami ahead. I don't know about the other two.
Atlanta was borderline playoffs. They were close.
Yeah.
And Arizona played some good games last year. I think Jonathan Gannon's doing a decent job there.
Yeah, and then you got to ask yourself, you know, the division, the NFC West with Arizona, like, you know, how winnable is it? You know, San Fran's taking a step back.
But if we're just talking about who's the best.
Yeah.
Like, they would be, above Dallas at this point.
I don't hate it.
At the end of the season, over at ESPN, the Dallas Cowboys ranked 18th. On the list, which feels closer to where you think they are than 22nd.
Right.
Do you think they went up or down based on these rankings?
You know, it's been a mid off season. I would say they stay stagnant. They stayed still at 18.
They took a drop.
Okay.
The Dallas Cowboys come in at 21. They fall three spots. This is Todd Archer's write-up. He said, the Cowboys did not lay out a big financial investment in Solomon Thomas, just $3 million guaranteed, yet he can fill a number of roles in Matt Eberflus's defense and in the locker room. He played for new defensive line coach Aaron Whitecotton with the Jets, so he can help teach what the new position coach wants. He has also been productive with 8.5 sacks over the past two seasons. Mainly, Thomas's experience will be a plus for a defense that lost some leadership in free agency and potentially needed a fresh voice anyway.
How much... So, was the original rankings, the 18 and the 23, was that just at the end of the year? So, like...
That was after Super Bowl.
Okay, so they knew that Schottenheimer was the coach. I wonder how much that plays into it.
I mean, when I look at I don't think it does a ton, because I think ever since Schottenheimer got hired, remember, these rankings were done after Schottenheimer would have been hired. And I think when you look at everything Schottenheimer's done since, when he's talked about philosophy, leadership, team building, the moves that have been made, the hires he's made on the coaching staff, those have all generally been pluses.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think that they're in a position where I think the bigger issue is just you still have starting positions that you haven't filled. Who's your wide receiver two? Who's your wide receiver three,
right,
for that matter? What's going to go on with the offensive line? Do you have a starting running back? All we know is that you've lost running back at this point. But what have you really done to make your team better? You've solidified depth. You've made sure you didn't get worse.
Which I think solidifying depth is such an underrated part of
100%
this.
Matters. Because they didn't do it last year.
No, they got rid of their depth.
It destroyed them.
So now one injury, you're so thin. So I think they did a really good job this offseason with depth. They just didn't get any difference makers.
See, and that's the thing is that I think what they've done is they've made themselves, they've made sure they didn't get worse. That their signings have ensured that they didn't get worse.
Some people would argue it would be impossible.
Well, I mean, not totally impossible, but they didn't get worse, but they haven't gotten better. Those signings have just, all right, you've maintained. Like you said, that's where you thought they had probably had them. They've maintained.
They maintained.
That's where ESPN would have had them. They have not gotten better. Because that's the thing, they still don't have starters in a number of different places. Here's what they've lost so far this offseason. DeMarcus Lawrence, Jordan Lewis, Brandon Cooks, Chauncey Golston, Chuma Edoga, Cooper Rush, Rico Dowdle. Those are significant. Who they've brought in? Dante Fowler, Solomon Thomas, offensive lineman Robert Jones. He's a guard. Running backs, Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders. Mm-hmm. You added more to the defensive line. You got Peyton Turner. Then you've got Jack Sanborn at linebacker. You've traded for Kenneth Murray. You've traded for Kyrie Elam. Nothing done at wide receiver. A lot of emphasis on defensive line, and you still don't know, okay, what is our starting situation along the offensive line? You've added two running backs. Are you genuinely trying to tell me they're going to be one of your starters? Now, they've still got the draft, and they've got different ways that they can add there. And so this isn't a final grade by any means, but it does feel a little bit like, have you covered all your contingencies the way you're supposed to?
Well, let me ask you this. Let's go through the rest of the teams. Did Washington get better this offseason? So,
got better.
All right. Did the Giants get better or worse?
Man, the Giants were at the very bottom. They might be a little better. They did sign Paulson Adebo. They did get Winston. He'll be better than the quarterback situation they had. So probably a little better. But I think they're still, I don't know if their position changed in the rankings, but they are a better team because they were just so bad before.
And what about Philly?
Philly's probably gotten worse.
Okay.
Because Philly lost so many people on defense so far this offseason. Now, that's what happens when you put together a team like that. You're going to lose a bunch of their people. But, I mean, they lost Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, Darius Slay, Mekhi Becton. Those are, like, starters.
Those are starters.
Those are starters for them. They lost other depth. Avante Maddox, Isaiah Rodgers, Kenneth Gainwell, Oren Burks. They've lost a lot. Philly's definitely been hurt.
Where is San Francisco on these lists?
So, that's an interesting position. They are 18 on the NFL Network or on the NFL.com list, which is actually up three spots even after all their purges. They were 13 at the end of the season on ESPN, and they've dropped two spots to 15. I think San Francisco is still a better team. I do think San Francisco is better than Dallas.
But the margin's smaller.
It's definitely tighter. Yeah. But you've also had a situation where this is what's frustrating a little bit about the way Dallas is added. You talked about how when we were talking at 8 o'clock about the Fangraphs projections, how there's a vulnerability here in the AL that teams should be trying to take advantage of. Mm-hmm. And they should be trying to, like, all right, this is our window. Let's go for it. There's a vulnerability in the NFC right now where you can say, all right, you know, Philly just won, but there's still some instability across it. Detroit's really good, but Detroit still hasn't figured out how to win the biggest games yet. They've come out flat in some pretty, you know, they came out flat against Washington. They lost a big lead against San Francisco. They've got some demons that they're fighting now in Detroit. And so this is an opportunity to, like, hey, let's close the gap a little bit or let's do something. San Francisco's taking a step back. Why are we not doing things to get us closer? Instead, we're just saying, let's maintain. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that we're kind of on the level. This is an opportunity to make sure you really closed a gap and did something. And to be fair, they tried to get Dre Greenlaw from San Francisco. He ended up in Denver. But, man, you've got to do something about your receiver position right now. You've got to have a better contingency than just Jalen Tolbert and Jonathan Mingo. That can't be your fallback. Right. That can't be your parachute.
We may have to go around the rest of the NFC and see who's better or worse than last year at this point.
Yeah, because, I mean, honestly, I think Dallas did enough to just maintain. I think that a lot of the teams in the NFC so far have gotten better.
Think so?
Yeah, and that's the thing.
We'll do it tomorrow.
This is an opportunity to try and take advantage of vulnerability. And gosh, how many times did Jerry say recently about like ripe for the picking in recent years, or you know, oh, this is a great time to take advantage of some things. And yet this is the time where they're kind of handcuffed, whether it be out of necessity or by choice or misunderstanding or misevaluation, however it is, they're handcuffed right now of their own doing or out of reality. However you look at it, they're not doing what they need to do.
Well, they got to. And the draft is going to tell a lot. You know, they got some holes to fill still. But the question is, are they going to try and reach for certain positions to fill in the draft? Or are they just going to kind of stick to what they've done all the years? And that's just say, hey, no matter what, best player available.
Yeah, depends on how close they think that window is to closing.
Yep. Philo.
Philbelt.
Here on 105.3 The Fan. 9 o'clock hour coming up next on Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. Who's set to host solo in our March Madness show bet? And was this the worst first weekend of tournament history? Next on 105.3 The Fan.